I would like to call this meeting of the City Council of University City to order at 6:30. Ms. Pum, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Price is excused. Ms. Carr?
Present.
Mr. Kraft? Mr. Crow?
Here.
Mr. Glickert? Mr. Sharp? Mayor Welsh?
Here. Thank you very much. We now move on to the approval of the agenda. Does any member of council have any changes he or she would like to make to the agenda? Hearing none, we will move on. We have no proclamations tonight. We now move on to the approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the City Council regular session on February 11, 2013? Mr. Crow moves. Is there a second? Mr. Sharp seconds. Is there any discussion? Ms. Carr?
Ms. Palm, have you made the correction already? No, then I have nothing.
Okay, hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed, the ayes have it. Thank you very much. We now move on to the appointments. Mr. Sharp, you have an appointment to make. Could you please turn on?
I nominate Eva Creer to the Traffic Commission.
Is there a second? Mr. Glickert, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Could a member of council handle Mr. Kraft's renomination to green practices, reappointments?
It's mine. That's okay. Nominate Ashley for a reappointment for Mr. Jerry Breakstone to the Green Practices Commission.
Thank you, sir. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Sharp seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. We have a number of swearing-ins this evening. Is Susan Stang in the audience? Ms. Susan, Ms. Stang, if you could come up, please, we will swear you in.
And Evan Howell called, and she will be sworn in my office this week.
Thank you, Ms. Pum. Thank you very much. Thank you for being willing to serve. As Ms. Pum mentioned, Ms. Hollowell will be sworn into the Plan Commission in the Clerk's Office, and Kimberly Jones has been sworn into the Park Commission in the City Clerk's Office. We have no request to speak at this portion of the agenda. We have no public hearings tonight and nothing on the consent agenda. We now move to the City Manager's Report. Mr. Walker.
Madam Mayor and members of Council, the first item under the City Manager's Report is the Fergus Avenue Bridge construction. Staff is recommending that the contract be awarded to Gassner Excavating and Grading. The firm is the lowest bidder and has been approved by MoDOT. Their bid amount is $429,736.
Is there a motion to approve? Ms. Carr, is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Sharp, is there any discussion?
One
Mr. Glickert.
For the city manager, this is a joint development project with Pagedale, correct?
That's correct.
And to what extent is Pagedale involved in this process? Obviously, we're approving the bid. Do they agree with that? And do we have a what is the process as far as, you know, the payment? Does Ganser send one invoice to us and then we bill Pagedale? I'm just a little concerned about that. And if you could answer that, that would help me.
Councilmember Glickert, I'm going to ask the Director of Public Works, Mr. Wilson, to address that.
Yes, we have an agreement with Pagedale that they would pay the local match. They've given us the authority to do the project. We are usually a project like this is in three phases. There's design, the right-of-way, and then construction. We're just wrapping up the design, getting the final billing. We are going to bill them or invoice them our 10%. When we're done with the construction, we will then invoice them their 10% of the project cost.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker.
The second item under the city manager's report is authorization for the city manager to enter into a parking easement and license agreement number 3 with UCity Lions, LLC, an amendment to an existing 1993 agreement between the city and the property owner of 6665 Delmar Boulevard for parking stall use and a common lot license in the Loop parking lot. This proposed agreement maintains the status quo of previous agreements and extends the expiration date. Staff is recommending approval.
Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Crow, is there a second? Mr. Glickert? We do have one request to speak on this issue, Mr. Gregory Pace.
Train me. Gregory Pace, 7171 Westmoreland. I am opposed to extension, the grant of the lease, extending it. If I'm understanding what's going on, we're planning to give away valuable property to a very wealthy business owner, but on the same time, we won't even bring to the dais a vote to provide street sweeping to tax-paying residents. I don't get that logic. Now, also, if street sweeping is illegal because you can't give public whatever to private whatever, then how is this legal? Again, that land has value. The Loop is valuable. We know that there was an appraisal done by the U Heights for property land. $26 a square foot, so we all know that that land has value. Next item, are we opening a Pandora's box? In the council packet, Mr. Wald said, hey, this is a great idea, and I'd like a piece of this action. So, you know, are we just going to have them all knocking on the door and, you know, wanting, you know, to sign leases or whatever forever? And anyway, parking lot number 4 is free. Council voted on it. I don't even understand for the need. This deal is for business hours, and if I understand the history correctly, the Lewis London, I don't know if that was a person or a business, but it was a non-retail business, advertising or something. I assume that the intent was parking spots for employees. That situation doesn't even exist anymore. The lot is free. The whole concept is redundant. The retail patrons can park in the lot for free. It just ties our hands. Anyway, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker.
The third item under the City Manager's Report is presentation of the fiscal year 14 budget. Madam Mayor and members of council, this evening I'm just going to do an overview of the proposed budget for the next fiscal year. As council will be aware, we have three more public meetings. In order to prepare the budget document, staff have had three public meetings so far. There will be three for comment on the draft public budget. I'm sure that council will want to modify certain components of the budget that's being presented this evening. There will be ample time to do that over the course of the next 2 or 3 months before final budget adoption in June. As we've done over the past two previous years, we will be scheduling study sessions with council to review the individual department budgets, and we'll be starting those in March. So this evening I'm going to just focus on the budget highlights, budget challenges that we as a city continue to face, provide an overview of the proposed budget for the next fiscal year, and identify some of the planned capital improvements. In terms of budget highlights, the major components of the budget: no reduction in city services, no increase in real estate taxes for residential property. There is a decrease in the budget for real estate taxes for commercial property. There are no proposed sales tax increases. We are proposing a 2% cost of living adjustment for all city employees. This will be the first cost of living employees for city staff in the past 4 years. We're also proposing an increase in funding for police operations. This essentially incorporates the four positions that have recently been approved. We are proposing an increase in funding for fire operations. This will include two new positions, a new ambulance, and equipment for the fire department. We are also proposing funding for a youth employment program for the third year in a row. We are proposing increased funding for street and sidewalk repairs, funding for a new police station, or to extensively renovate the existing one. We'll be doing a civic plaza study over the next few months and be coming forward to City Council with some suggestions in terms of whether we look at building a new police station somewhere in University City or renovating the existing one. I will circulate the terms of reference to Council for that prior to it being sent out in an RFP format, and also replacing the information technology infrastructure. Some of the budget challenges that we continue to face as a city. As council will be aware, we've experienced a 5% decline in University City's population from the 2000 census to the 2010 census. Our population has gone from about 37,500 to 35,400. This causes a per capita revenue reduction of approximately $400,000 per year without us doing anything, because so much of our revenue is dependent upon headcount. Council will also be aware that there have been proposals from some municipalities to make University City a point of sale rather than a pool city. That will impact our revenue base significantly if that should happen. Given the fact that we are an aging municipality, we have additional capital needs and aging infrastructure that some of the newer municipalities would not have. We have repairs that are needed for our streets, our sidewalks, our curbs. We need to make our sidewalks and curbs ADA compliant. We have a street paving backlog and maintenance, and we also have, University City being a city of trees, we have a significant tree cover that continues to require attention. In terms of the proposed budget estimates, proposed budget from the general fund represents a surplus budget. We are anticipating our revenues to exceed our expenditures. We anticipate a surplus in the range of approximately $300,000. As I indicated earlier in the presentation, this budget incorporates proposed salary increases in terms of the cost of living for all employees, medical insurance, and other benefits. We're still anticipating a surplus of approximately $300,000 on the basis of the budget that's being submitted to council this evening. This provides a history of our general fund revenues. Our revenues continue to be flat. That spike that you see in 2008 essentially was as a result of the settlements with the telecommunications companies. Since then, our revenues continue to be flat, and we have to achieve what efficiencies we can from a management point of view As council will be aware, we've reduced various layers of management throughout the city. We've consolidated city departments, and that has enabled us to move forward on the fiscal front. This provides a history of our large general fund revenue categories. I have to apologize that it's difficult to read. We tried to expand it as much as we could, but I will be distributing copies of the PowerPoint presentation in addition to the budget later this evening so that you'll have a better picture of our general fund categories. But our sales tax, gross receipts, property tax, and intergovernmental transfers, those are really the basis for our ability to fund the various programs and services that University City provides to its residents. Just in terms of our general fund expenditures, this really shows how we spend our money. As you can see from that pie chart, 47% of our budget is spent on protective services, on police and fire. The rest goes to community development, public works, general operations, and capital outlay. In terms of planned capital improvements for the next fiscal year, we've identified these major projects. I won't read them to you. As I said, they'll all be in the budget document. And as I'm sure council will want to add, delete, and modify the budget as proposed. Madam Mayor and members of council, that concludes an overview of the proposed budget for the next fiscal year.
Do any members of council have any questions for Mr. Walker, Mr. Glickert?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Probably premature in asking the question, but I think it's probably good that we lay some groundwork for perspective purposes. And let me stop for just a moment and thank you for putting together this informational material. As one who's been on for two terms, I can remember getting this kind of information in April or May to make a vote for all of us in June. The question I have has to do with a pool city, and Mr. City Manager, and the consequences of moving away from the pool city. Do you have an approximation dollar-wise what that would look like?
I believe the latest figures we looked at, Councilmember Glickert, were in the range of about $2 million a year. It's a lot of money.
Might I add, Mr. Glickert, that we have been told that so far this term, no bills relating to the point of sale and pool taxes have been introduced in Jefferson City. Since the redistricting, apparently some thoughts have changed, so at least right now there's nothing on the floor up in Jeff City, which is good news. Any other questions for Mr. Walker? Hearing none, thank you very much, Mr. Walker, and we will get the budgets at the end of the meeting. Okay, thank you. We now move on to council reports and business. We have two appointments coming up for the Board of Appeals, but those are on hold until we decide how to handle the Board of Appeals and whether or not it should combine with another commission. Mr. Kraft and Mr. Sharp each have one of those. Mr. Price has appointments outstanding to the Traffic and Library Commissions. Mr. Sharp also has outstanding appointments to the Human Relations and Historic Preservation Commission, and I have an outstanding appointment to the Calib Commission, and we only have two reappointments. Both are Mr. Kraft. So does any member of council have any report they would like to give to a commission or board to which they liaise? Okay, then we move on. I don't believe we saw any minutes from the board and commission meetings in our packet this week. We should next time. Mr. Walker, I will just remind, I do hope that members of council can regularly get meeting minutes from all the boards and commissions. We now move on to council business and discussion. I would just like to read a short statement following the meeting of a couple weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, in my electronic University City Bulletin Board newsletter, I mentioned a legal opinion we had received from City Attorney Paul Martin concerning actions taken by a majority of the council at a previous council meeting, which he indicated violated a state statute. I excerpted one section of that opinion in my newsletter. I also shared an explanatory document Mr. Martin had written related to the proposed intergovernmental agreement between University City and Olivet. Before I shared that information and document, I did not reconfirm that these documents were public documents as mandated by Council Rule Number 37. I should have done so. That was an error on my part, and I regret having released this information in the document. It will not happen again. I want to assure you who are here tonight and the people in the city that City Attorney Martin has said that no information was released that compromised the City of University City in any way. Ms. Carr.
Thank you for your explanation, Madam Mayor. I would tend to disagree with what you allege is Mr. Martin's reassurance. I can think of two particular things, one from each document. Those documents, again, came as labeled legal opinions, and they contained a caveat at the top of each stating clearly that they were confidential and information. I again go back to the fact that not one of us can make a decision to excerpt or release a portion of that, either in writing or in any kind of reproduction. That doesn't limit us from broadly discussing it, but I don't think that we can put it out there. I, in fact, have two instances. So I would like to say that although I accept the fact that you will not do it again, as you said, I believe that that it was a violation of the charter. Why? Because the charter states that we are a council of seven, not one above the other six. And none of us had the opportunity to discuss that. And also, I believe that it was used to illustrate that some of us had made some legal error in putting forward this. So I'd like to remind the council in particular and some of the audience that almost exactly 2 years ago, what came before this council was a resolution to censure Councilmember Byron Price. And it was probably the ugliest thing I ever heard as a citizen. And it was because, I believe, let's see, that for his bad behavior, he didn't put anything out there. He really didn't break the council rules as such, although this resolution of the city council's reprimand of Councilmember Price is pretty clear. Councilmember Sharp even spoke to that. Mr. Price is an impassioned speaker, and you either love it or you don't, but that's not a reason to reprimand him. I think that in this case, this is very clear. Not only was it Rule 37, but as I remember, the mayor gave reasons for wanting to present this resolution. And essentially what she said, it was about the rules. It wasn't about the behavior, but it was about following the rules. And clearly here, we haven't followed the rules, or at least in this case, the mayor has not followed the rules. I'm not sure how to come down on this, but I think simply an explanation saying that you didn't reconfirm, well, you didn't confirm it, and we had this discussion, quite frankly, when I first came on the council. I was told that confidential legal information could not be released without a vote of the council. We took another vote to release the information about the street sweeping right here on the dais. I'm still puzzled why it's a non-issue, because to me it is a great issue. What it essentially says is that any one of us can decide that it serves our purposes to put out confidential information, put it out, and then go, mea culpa, or I'm sorry. So much easier to apologize after the fact than to ask permission. Thank you.
Mr. Crow.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to express my appreciation to you for not only your bulletin of February the 17th, 2013, where you said somewhat similar remarks to what you just made tonight, but also appreciate the fact that you made the same acknowledgement this evening. Sadly, though, for me, this issue just continues to perplex me in so many ways, because to me this issue was really, at least half of this issue was brought to the forefront as best I can tell, an attempt to provide some sort of after-the-fact justification for the mayor's abstention to a vote in support of the Youth City School bond issue that is coming up. Not a vote against it, but a vote in abstention. And the first explanation we received was that as a steward of the city's finances, we all needed to be responsible and the mayor needed to abstain because that was the number one priority. And I'm not sure whether that one flew or not, but maybe it didn't, because then we got a rather creative legal opinion from our city attorney that said that the amount of time that it took our city clerk to put an item on the agenda resulted in the inappropriate use of city funds for a political endeavor, and therefore the folks who voted for it could have violated law, which I think we all probably find a little bit intriguing. I think Mr. Martin probably would as well if he talked to some of his other colleagues in the municipal bar. I do appreciate the fact that Ms. Carr brought up that it is ironic that this is some 2 years hence from the passage of Resolution 2011-5. And for those of you who may or may not know that, that was the resolution of censure to Councilmember Price. And I think in order to give ourselves a little bit of perspective, first off, all of the mayor's remarks from that evening are in the minutes from that meeting of February the 28th, 2011. And I hope that the citizens and the mayor as well appreciate the different tone that is being taken tonight than was taken that night. I'll read just briefly. Mayor Welsh stated that this council was facing an unpleasant task of debating a resolution that, if passed, would formally reprimand one of its members. She noted that it is not an action taken lightly, but she believes it is an action that is needed to make clear what type of behavior is acceptable by members of the council as we meet to do the business of the people of this community. She said that the resolution was about rules and acceptable behavior, not about free speech. The mayor said that the city charter of University City, Section 9, states that the council shall determine its own rules and order of business. There's a brief discussion about Robert's Rules of Orders, which are in the minutes that you can read. The mayor then said it was her determination, that the decorum of the council's debate at the February 14, 2011 meeting was not appropriate, and she conveyed her concerns by a letter to Councilmember Price. She said it was her understanding that any formal reprimand of a council member must be delivered by a majority of the council, and that is why she requested consideration of this resolution. She said the people who were in attendance at the February 14th meeting, only they know what happened and understands that each person may perceive the proceedings differently. She said she acted on a concern out of behavior that she saw as disorderly and believes that negatively impacted the work and deliberation of this council. Then there's a few more sentences which you're welcome to read from the minutes. The mayor said this is a difficult step to make it clear to this community that the council will only accept behavior from the elected members of this body that is worthy of the people who put them on this council. The mayor said this resolution is about all members of council living within their own rules, which was approved by a majority of the members just 3 months ago at that time. She said the council cannot do the business of the people if each member of the council does not follow the council's rules and respects the right of other members of council, staff, and the public to have a different point of view. So I guess in reference to the very serious admonition that all of us received 2 years ago from the mayor, my questions would be, were your unilateral actions an acceptable type of behavior by a member of this council as we meet to do the business of the people of this community? That is the standard that you applied to Mr. Price on that evening. Were your unilateral actions more detrimental to our city then the conclusion on your part that the decorum of the council's debate at February 14, 2011 meeting was not appropriate. 2 years ago, you said that the council needed to reprimand Mr. Price about his behavior that you saw as disorderly and believed it negatively impacted the work and deliberation of this council. The same question should still be asked of you. The standard is, did your conduct negatively impact the work of this council? The next question that you applied to Mr. Price, were your actions as an elected member of this body worthy of the people who put you on the council? Did you live within your own rules? You closed your remarks by saying the council cannot do the business of the people if each member does not follow the rules. So once again, I applaud the mayor for coming forth to a degree. I believe that this is about perspective. I believe that the council has shown an appropriate level of perspective tonight versus 2 years ago. I also believe it is about leadership. And once again, I appreciate the mayor bringing this forth.
Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none, we now move on to unfinished business. We have bill number 9177. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Glickert, Ms. Pum, would you please, may we please have the first reading?
This is unfinished business, so I'll be reading 2 and 3.
Sorry, my brain was elsewhere. This is unfinished business. Ms. Pum, may we have the second reading, please?
An ordinance amending various sections of Chapter 10, Vehicles and Traffic, to revise various traffic regulations as provided herein.
May we have the third reading, please?
An ordinance amending various sections of Chapter 10, Vehicles and Traffic, to revise various traffic regulations as provided herein.
Thank you. What's the pleasure of the council? Mr. Glickert moves. Is there a second? Mr. Sharp seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Pum, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Carr?
Aye.
Mr. Kraft? Mr. Crow?
Aye.
Mr. Glickert? Mr. Sharp? Mayor Welsh?
Aye. Thank you very much. We have no new business tonight, either resolutions or bills. We now move to citizen participation. We have 3 requests to speak. The first is from Mr. Ed McCarthy.
These are just budget comments quickly, and that is, number one, Lehman, I thought you put in there a police station, or do you have a police in your budget for next year? I don't know if you do or not. And then number two is, do you have your 4 new policemen on there already and a 2% increase, and we're still balancing? Okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. George Umlauf.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. I have a few very brief comments.
Mr. Umlauf, could you please identify yourself and give us your address, please?
Of course. My name is Corge Umlauf. I live at 7372 Northmore, University City. I have a comment. I have comments about the item L, council reports business. 2 brief comments specifically. First, I would request further clarification from Honorable Welsh's comments regarding the consolidation of the Board of Appeals. I don't know, some of the members of the council may know. I am concerned because I have a pending appeal in front of that board. I'm concerned about any legal ramifications of a change in the process after an appeal has been filed, as well as I'm concerned about the timing of being able to have my appeal heard. And in addition, I'd also like to make comments to the council. I would request that the city tries to improve its communication, maybe on the website or otherwise, regarding the members who sit on these boards. I searched and searched, and nowhere on the web could I find any members of the Board of Appeals. Further, I've heard rumors that the Board of Appeals is not currently fully staffed, which is, again, will cause a delay in hearing any appeals. And I think it's important that citizens be able to follow these committees and see who sits on these committees and who's going to be making these decisions, especially ones that do have this appeal power. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Final speaker is Mr. Gregory Pace.
Thank you.
moved again. Gregory Pace, 7171 Westmoreland. I'm on the Board of Appeals. Right here. We do not want to eliminate that board. Very important. Although it's an honorary position, since we never meet. I did research the laws of the state as regards the mayor's showing of that opinion. And for the record, I am not a lawyer, but 610.021, as far as I'm concerned, clearly states that that should not have happened. The mayor was wrong, broke the law, if you will. Mr. Crow essentially asked and stated that with the attorney last meeting. Also, Mr. Crow brought up when Mr. Kraft asked for an opinion to be opened. As a matter of fact, I pushed Mr. Kraft to open that opinion because I'd heard that there was one out there, and then I wanted to see it for myself, and the body acted appropriately. But the comment that I really want to get to is it was raised, you know, I guess there's certain folks in the council who want to reprimand the mayor, and that's totally fine. She did bad. I have no problem with that. But in defense of that, it was raised of the censorship of Mr. Price. And I don't want to go back over that censorship, but I will say that the last meeting, a citizen, Mr. Ed McCarthy, was here, where I'm at now, making a comment, and Councilman Price interrupted him more than once. No one objected. That's completely inappropriate behavior. I mean, if you think it's appropriate, raise your hand. And the reason I say that, I have a type A personality. Most of you sitting there, Mr. McCarthy, same way. We get up here, we talk. That's fine. We have no problem. But, you know, over the last few years I've been involved, I've talked to a few folks, and they're scared to death to come up here. That's the truth. I didn't realize that, but this intimidates folks. And then if you have a sitting council member who interrupts, do you think it gets any easier for folks? So that behavior is wrong. I'm not saying it's worthy of censorship, but it's wrong. And it's wrong from anybody that does it, to interrupt, you know, a citizen that, you know, has the gumption to come up here and talk. So please consider that. You know, if you want to raise his behavior, well, I'll raise it too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have no other requests to speak. Does any member of council have any comments he or she would like to make? I have a few. I attended the first crime safety meeting at Barbara Jordan Elementary School last night. Mr. Sharp and Mr. Price were there. You had a very good turnout. There is another meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at Pershing Elementary School. This is being held in combination with the focus group that's normally held at the community center. And then we have two more coming up. I attended the Metro Mayors Group meeting a week and a half ago. That's the group of large city mayors, and it's mayors of the whole region, not just St. Louis County. I attended a luncheon of the St. Louis County Economic Development Council, a number of meetings for Fair Use Cities, for which I volunteer. I'm working with some volunteers to help me work to realize my vision for an online University City Volunteer Clearinghouse. Yesterday, I walked in the Purim Parade in the western part of our city and spoke at the University Heights No. 1 Neighborhood Annual Meeting, and our Loop Transportation District meeting was canceled due to inclement weather. Any other council comments? Hearing none, I adjourn this meeting at 7:09. This is a new record.